back.
So he's leaving
every Earl Ingram show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy Williams is my guest as always. And Sandy, you know, I want to begin. I was thinking about this, and you know, there's generational change going on in our country, in our society. You know, it happens. You know, no generation stays in power or in control forever. It is an expected reality in this nation. And I don't know, Sandy, if the generational change we're going through now is any different than the generational changes that we went through with our parents' generation. I don't know if there was a smoother, you know, generational change than what we are going through now. Do you think that this change that we are experiencing right now, that kind of pull and tug, did we have that with our parents' generation as your and my generation started?
I don't think so. I think the baby boomer generation, first of all, we are such a big generation numerically as compared to our parents' generation. Right. And we ended up getting power much earlier in our lives than the current gen. We're only letting go of power as they tear it out of our dying hands. We're not yielding power and passing it on easily, to the point where I think the passage is not going to be from one generation to the next. I think it's going to be generation skipping. I think our generation is holding on so long that the generation that will step into this will be two generations removed from us. It'll be people in their 40s, you know, and we tried that once. Obama was the next generation, and maybe even a little. Yeah, he was the next generation from the boomers. Who do we have in power now? We've got Joe Biden, who's at the leading edge. In fact, he isn't even a boomer. He was born a little too early to be actually labeled a boomer. He was born during the war and not after it. You know, I don't think it is as smooth. I don't think the transition is as smooth. I think we were such a big generation. We had so much attention focused on us that I think we were a very self-centered and selfish generation. And businesses, all kinds of places are finding that this generation, our generation, is not stepping out gracefully. We're not handing things down because we're thinking of the next generation. And in fact, many of the policies that we've enacted in the midst of the power that we have not been thoughtful about future generations. Our tax cuts are all about now and wealth now. And the way the stewards that we've been of our country have not taken care of our grandchildren, clearly, because you can look now at all of the liabilities that we were, the way we've kicked the can down the road so much. That the next generations are going to have a serious problem. Some of that just has to do with demographics. We're not a growing population like we were when we, the baby boomers, took hold. And so growing populations are much easier to manage than stagnant populations, just from the standpoint of raising revenue.
You know, Sandy, when you look at Congress and the Senate and you know, you only have a handful of, you know, younger people who have ascended to that position. You still see, you know, folk like Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell and others who are still in power, and we're making decisions that are going to impact and affect people long after we're gone. So we're making decisions based on our philosophies. From right. You know, from our time, you know what I mean, Sandy?
Well, I mean, like, for instance, what we're going to talk about later, Ukraine and the renewal of the Cold War and the isolation of Russia and all of that in some respects, is something that we, the baby boomers, lived under and got used to. And now we have to figure out whether, and the same is true with Vladimir Putin on his side. The people in Russia who are in power right now are these boomers who lived under a situation that has trained them to have a view of the world. And we're now imposing that view of the world on the next generation, both Putin and us, both from both sides of the ocean and both sides of the dispute, because we're handing a Cold War onto our children and grandchildren, and the isolation and the globe and the tribalism that goes with it. And would another generation have behaved that way that didn't have the situation we did, that wasn't crawling under their desk because the civil defense people had dreamed up a theory that Russia was going to send missiles raining down on us? And would the Russians feel differently if the people who were in power now were younger and hadn't lived within the fear of the Cold War that they had on their side?
You know, Sandy, you really summed it up, man, when you talked about the war, the Cold War aspect of this. I know that my sons in their mid-40s, early to mid-40s, don't give a rip about the Cold War. You know, I mean, they're living their lives, they're trying to make it through and make the most of their life, but here they are in their 40s, and we're still talking about the Cold War and the money that goes along with it. And that way of thinking, Sandy, as you well know, it has to be changed. And the only way that can be changed is when you're in my generation, you know, moves out of leadership.
I mean, our generation doesn't remember that before World War II, we were an isolationist country primarily. We had a very small military, and such a small military that it took us a couple of years, actually, of preparation as we watched Europe at war, trying to get ourselves up to the point of having a military that we could send abroad and participate in a war. And we didn't view ourselves as the policemen of the country. We didn't have a defense budget that swallowed such a huge percentage of our GDP. And it's only been since World War II that we took on this new and different view of ourselves that has burdened our country and our taxpayers with a huge budget that robs the country of the ability to give the people what is being given to them in many of the other countries of Western Europe and the United and the world, you know, the health care, the child daycare, the maternity leave, the pensions, all of the things that many other countries view as a right to provide the sustenance to a people so they can have families and to put families first. And our government doesn't have the wherewithal to do that and the political will to do it because we're spending such a huge portion of our treasure on this worldview.
You know, Sandy, you look at the other members of NATO, especially the ones that are the strongest. They've downsized their military spending over the last couple decades or decade. A couple decades. They've downsized their expenditures on all of those things and their troop sizes. They've downsized all of that and started concentrating more on what it is you just got through saying, on their families and those types of things. And yet, here we are. I always remember, Sandy, as a young man, a young boy, I guess, and even when I became a young man, the constant gripings from the United States about how old the leadership was in Russia with Brezhnev and all those guys. And, you know, and they had that old way of thinking, you know, but that's where we are now. We are the ones who have this old way of thinking. And through that old way of thinking, nothing seems to me that old way of thinking is going to be changing in the next decade or so. And, you know, because later on, you already mentioned one of the subjects that that I clearly was, we were going to be talking about today. And that's the new Cold War that's being created right now as we speak, and the resources that are going to continue to be drawn away from day to day lives of, you know, of our grandchildren and our children. We see it right now, and there are not a whole lot of people right now who are talking about it, not the news media or any of those people. But that is on the horizon, and that is going to be one of the main reasons why, you know, we've got to do what we can. And I think that we've got younger people who are well educated, who are politically savvy, Sandy, who I think can do a good job of now doing this. You remember when John F. Kennedy came into power, and how the world, the country and the world looked at having a young man like John F. Kennedy become the president of the United States with new ideas, fresh ideas, and how excited we were. I think when you look now again at Joe Biden, regardless of what people say or think about him, he is, you know, his he should be gone, never should have become the president. And I'm not saying because of age discrimination, but our country is hard to move forward when, you know, he's still a part of that past history. Go ahead, Cindy.
Well, no, absolutely. I mean, that's why businesses foster succession programs, and most businesses that do a very good job of having a long time horizon in terms of a future that continues to make them valuable and productive is a succession process that keeps young blood moving up in the organization. It, first of all, it's bad for morale for young people to not have a future that they can identify that's upward.
Hey, Sandy, hold that thought. Sandy, hold that thought. We'll let you respond on the other side. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.